And so Daniel prospered under these and kept on prospering even after Darius left off the scene. He still prospered. And so we're talking about that man that prospered, and we're dealing with him. We've talked last week about the fact that he was preferred. Verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. And so he's preferred. Then we talked about the plot, how they plotted against him. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Those others got jealous of him, and they wanted to get rid of him, so they couldn't find any fault in anything he did unless it be with his God. They knew they served God continually and would not change, and so they sought out a way that they could plot against him and lie and get the king to sign a decree and so forth. You know the story. And then we talked about Daniel's prayer in verse number 10 and 11, how Daniel prayed, how he prayed every day, 3 times a day, and a Saturday with all of that. But tonight, I want to pick up on this thought, the powerless king. He had no power. The king didn't have the power. He simply thought he had the power. And of course, he got very sorry after he signed a decree about it because he didn't realize what he was doing when he did it. And we all ought to be careful what we do, because sometimes we do what we don't think we're doing. That makes sense. Sometimes we just simply mess up, amen, and by making a hasty decision. You see, they appealed to his pride and to that they flattered him. And so appealed to him in that, and it sounded good, so he jumped on it real quick. Be careful what sounds too good. Amen. Always weigh it out with the Word of God, what God has to say. I just throwing that out now. That's another message, but I'm throwing it out to you right now. Think about it. It'll help you. And so in verses 12 and down through there, you find how this crowd, and I call them the tattling bunch, they kept coming to the king and tattling on Daniel. And he only tattled on him, but they reminded him of what he had signed. And they kept on pushing him to do, and he knew what he had to do because it was a decree, and the Medes and the Persians had that rule. They couldn't change it. Now, of course, back in the book of Esther, we found he could make nothing. So this Darius, he worked on a plan. He's trying to work something out. And notice, if you will, in verse number 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him and labor till the going down of the sun to deliver him. They got him in a mess, and they got him signed that thing. He felt bad about it. He knew Daniel didn't deserve to go to the den of lions. He knew better than that. But he tried to work out something and could not work out. And they reminded him again what he'd signed. In verse number 10, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. And they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now I want you to hang on to that thought. I'm coming back to it in a little bit. I'm tossing it out to you right now. He will deliver thee. And the king said that to Daniel, cast him into the lion's den. Now, the den of lions. Undoubtedly, that den of lions was in some kind of a pit, because they brought him up out of there later. But they cast him in and rolled a stone over it. And the king sealed it, and it was sealed there. But I remember another place that was sealed one time by a man, but it didn't last too long, just 3 days and 3 nights. And then the seal was broken, and Jesus got up and walked out victorious. I'm glad the kingdom and the authorities and the people of this world do not have the final say nor the final authority. There is an authority higher than the president, higher than the government of our land, higher than any country, higher than the United Nations, higher than anybody anywhere. There is a God in heaven that is sovereign God and has a final say. Amen. Brother, the devil thought he had you gone. Amen. He thought he had you and was going to tromp you down. And drinking and motorcycling, whatever else it was, and the gang that you was in. But I'm glad there's a God able to reach you down, pick you up, and get you out of that mess. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Let me show you something real quickly. In Acts chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, just listen. Daniel 5. And then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, and the sect of the Sadducees. You know about the Sadducees. Anybody that doesn't believe in the resurrection is sad, you see. They didn't believe in resurrection. And were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But Hallelujah, I like that. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and saying, and then he told them what to do. But in chapter 12 and verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now there's people out here in chains of sin in prison and need help. And we need to help them, amen, by praying for them. They prayed without ceasing. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door kept the prison. Now remember, they had some in prison before, and they disappeared. And now they got Peter in there, so they got him chained to a guard on each side. He's asleep, and there's guards outside the door. And can't you imagine what those two guards thought when they woke up and looked there and they had chains on their hand, but there wasn't anybody there. What a mess they's in. Hey, they had and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." His chains fell off his hands. Angel said unto him, "Girt thyself and bind on the sandals." He did so and said, "Cast the garments about thee and follow me." He went out and followed him. Then talks how he went through the prison, got out there to the gate going into the city, and the gate opened by itself, and he walked out. I wanted to get all that in there. But verse 18, that same chapter says, "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter." I mean, they had him chained. They had him on the inner side and guards inside, outside, chained up. And they wonder, where is he? What happened to him? He's not here. And praise God. I'm glad the devil sometimes gets blindsided by God, and somebody's in chains of sin and they're in prison of sin. But God comes by and convicts him and draws him, and Jesus picks him up, breaks the chains, and sets him free. Brother Mark, hallelujah, 32 years ago, God did that for you. And I say hallelujah and praise God for the reality of it. And so here is a powerless king. He's given his word. He set the seal. He did what he had to do. He thought he did what he had to do, but he thought that power, he said God would do it, but he really had a lapse of what he said there. Now notice verse 15. Verse 18 rather, I read to you tonight. King went in his palace and passed the night fasting, and no instruments of music brought in. I mean, he's in a mess. He's wringing his hands. He can't sleep. Daniel's out there in a den of lions, and he said, "Now your God will deliver you." And he said to servant, now let's back up that again, verse number 15. Latter part of that verse. "Thy God whom thou servest continually." He knew Daniel served him continually. He said, "Thy God will deliver thee." And then in verse number 18, he couldn't sleep that night, wringing his hand. Rose up early in the morning. Now here's the power of God. He rose up early in the morning. A king didn't have all the power, but he rose up early because he's so concerned about it. He's worried about Daniel out there. And he rose up and went to the mouth of that den of lions and cried out and said, "Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion?" He asked the wrong question. It was not the question to ask. It's not, is God able, but what is the will of God? Amen. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. We can know, amen. Ain't not anything God can't do that's right. Ain't not anything that needs to be happening around here that God can't handle. Ain't nobody out there that's not come to church God can't get a hold of. Ain't nobody out there that's lost and changed us in that God cannot set free. He's able. Hebrews 7:25. "Wherefore he is able also to save him unto the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He said he's able to save. I say hallelujah. He's able to save. Amen. Psalms 34 over there, talking to Psalmist, said he was able to deliver him from all of his fear. I'm glad, praise God, God can deliver you from fear. He's able to deliver us from our doubts. Amen. Peter doubted, started to sink. Jesus picked him up and said, "Why that doubt?" And he's helping him, getting him. And Thomas out there, when he doubted, Jesus just showed up and said, "Now look at my hands and my thirsty hand, my side." And he got the doubt fled away. I say hallelujah. I'm glad we got a God that is able to deliver. Amen. And get all the fears out and all the doubts out and all the anxieties out. Be careful for nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. I say hallelujah. I'm glad tonight, thank God, there's one that can give peace in the midst of the anxiety and sorrow and heartaches and disappointments. God is able. He's not only the God of the mountains, he's the God of the valleys. I remember a time in the Old Testament where the enemy of Israel said, "Oh, they won because he's the God of the mountains." And God said, "Let's go down the valley." Amen. And I'll still be God down there too. Amen. He's God everywhere. He's God in my life, God in your life, and he'll help you now. Notice what Daniel said in verse 22. He said, "My God have sent his angel, have shut the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocent was found in me." Now here's Daniel's, why God delivered Daniel. He was innocent before God. God saw fit to deliver Daniel so God would get the glory, God would get the praise, and the king would find out that he's a sovereign God in heaven. He also got delivered for the reason that he pleased God. He served God continually. God had still had a work for him to do. Did you know the devil can't kill you unless God gives him permission? God can't do anything, a devil can't do anything to us until he gets permission from God. As long as we're serving God, doing what God wants to do, God's going to watch over and care for. And so he may allow troubles to come. He may allow sickness to come. But he's still watching over and caring for. And devil's never going to take you out of here till God gets through with you. Amen. That's good. Even in Mexico. That'll work anywhere. It works in Mexico. It works in America. It works everywhere. God is in control. And so here he is. And then he said, "I've done you no hurt, King." He said, "I didn't do anything to you." And the king knew that. He'd served him well. He knew Daniel hadn't hurt him or done anything that was wrong to him. And so God delivered him. But notice something in verse number, let me find it real quickly. In verse number 23, very last part of that verse. Because he believed in his God. He went in that den of lions trusting God, just like those three Hebrew children back there in the fiery furnace. He went in trusting God to do what was right. If the lions ate him, it was okay. He was in the will of God. But he was trusting his God to deliver him. That's why he said he believed God. And went in there and came out. And the king said, "Is your God able?" Now Daniel knew he was able. He didn't ask if God's able. He just went in there trusting God, whatever. And came out. I say hallelujah. And praise God for the reality that he came out. Amen. And God can help you out of whatever situation you're in. Whatever problem you've got. God can help you out of it. And those loved ones are yours. And I guess my mind's moving in that direction tonight because of what we was talking about before church and then a testimony given during church and song they sang. I'm glad, hallelujah, that God's able to break a chains of sin. In the den of the lion, I said last week, that lion reminds you of the devil because he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But God can deliver from the lion's mouth. And he can do it. And he did that and brought Daniel up out of there. Hallelujah. Now, then you see the proclamation the king made. I won't take time to read it. But he made a proclamation to all those that threw Daniel in and accused him that they be thrown in, their families and their children. No. Now, Daniel wasn't a part of that, but that's the heathen way of doing things. And so they did that. As soon as they hit the line, the den lines at the bottom, they were broken in pieces, the Bible said, both their bones, and the lions began to feast. But Daniel just come out there all night, no hurt, no scratch, no nothing. And he was wondering about all that, I'm sure. And so he made his decree, and then he said, "Nobody speak anything against the God of Daniel, to whom he's." Look at verse 26. "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble, fear before the God of Daniel, for he's a living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and restoreth, rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Hallelujah. He signed a decree. Nobody asked anything but him. But when it got through, God got through. He signed another decree. Nobody might talk about that God of Daniel. He said, don't you, they'll pay the price for that. Then the last thing that is, so this Daniel prospered. So this Daniel prospered. I'm glad I like that verse. And I've got some more things to say about that, but I'm going to bring it to close tonight. And we'll let that ride for right now. This Daniel. This God that Daniel served. That Daniel. This Daniel. He was a special Daniel. God had his hand on him. But he trusted his God. He served him continually. He put God before everything else. And God delivered him and helped him. And wound up in the end blessed and prospered because of God. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for God's goodness. Blessed is a man who walketh not in counsel of God, and nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Delighteth himself in the word of God. That's what he said. And it goes on and says in verse 3, bring forth his fruit in his seed, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God prospers the godly man. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of the sinners in the presence of the righteous. I'm glad there's a day coming. God's going to settle the account. You can rest assured tonight, no matter how bad it looks bleak out there, our God's still sovereign God. God's still in control. God can still save your loved ones and my loved ones. God can still help your people, my people. We're trusting God to do that. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the privilege to share the word of God. Thank you for this great book that you've given to us called the Bible, the word of God. Thank you. Thank you that Daniel shows us this determination to serve God and to pray and to call on God. That God, you showed yourself mighty in that day. We're asking you now to show yourself mighty in our day. We're asking God that you'd help our loved ones and our friends, our neighbors. We pray in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.